The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside, begging. Hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be quiet. But he kept shrieking out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped. He ordered that the man be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man replied, "Lord, please let me see." Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." The man immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. And when all saw this, they all praised God. The Gospel of the Lord. On Saturday, Jesus gave us a parable of the need to pray always without losing heart. That importune woman who was banging at the heart of the unjust judge to render justice against her adversary, who probably had bribed that dishonest judge in the first place. Today, we have an illustration of what Jesus was teaching in that story, in this blind man whom St. Mark identified in his gospel as Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He heard the commotion as everything was happening around him. Normally, when those three times a year, everybody was making pilgrimages up to the temple in Jerusalem, the teachers would teach along the way. They'd tell stories along the way. So he could hear that there was a huge crowd following Jesus and that somebody was speaking. So he asked who it was. And as soon as he heard the word Yeshua of Nazareth, he had heard of him. And he started crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." He recognized that he was the Messiah. That's what the Son of David meant. He was asking for mercy, like he had heard had been done in other places. The crowd couldn't hear Jesus teaching because this man was shrieking. And so they told him to shut up. They didn't care about the man. They just wanted to kind of hear Jesus teaching. Charity would take a totally second place to that. And the word that St. Luke uses to describe how he was calling out all the more is a word that describes an animal howl, something that was just unstoppable and coming from the absolute depth within him. It wasn't just speaking in a loud voice. It was shrieking. "Son of David, have pity on me." For Jesus, that love of this blind man was more important than whatever he was teaching. He was probably, as we know from St. Luke's Gospel, talking about prayer, about the importance of persevering prayer. And this was, again, the dramatic illustration of all that he had been teaching. So he went over and he asked that question. It's a question we should ponder a lot. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus is often asking us that question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you really want? A lot of the times he's not going to answer it immediately because our desires need to be purified. If for some of us, if Jesus were to ask that question, it's just like, "Give me the waistline I had when I was 25. Give me this, give me that." Not really important stuff. "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus' response is famous in Christian history. "Domine ut videam." Lord, that I may see. I want to see. At some level, he was already seeing. He was seeing by faith. He knew what Jesus could do. But he was asking for a grace to be able to see in another way, and we'll see what he does with his sight in a second. "Domine ut videam." Lord, I want to see. And the Lord says, see, your faith has saved you. Because he was already seeing by faith, the miracle of the healing of his eyes was rather small. And then what does he do with his sight now that he could see? St. Luke tells us, immediately upon receiving sight, he followed Jesus, glorifying God. The whole fact that we can see is so that we can follow Jesus. That's the fundamental purpose why we can see, why we can hear, why we can touch, we can taste. It's all meant to be put into relationship with the Lord. And Bartimaeus used his sight to be able to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, to be able to follow him, not just on the outside, but follow him, glorifying him from the inside out. Christ is always passing by. He's never intruding upon us. He's never pushing us over. He's talking in the background. He's passing by. It's for us to cry out and say, have pity on me. It's for us to cry out, stay with us, Lord. I want you in my life. It's for us to take our eyes off of all the other distractions and laser beam them on the Lord. Sight is the great way to interpret the book of Revelation, which we're going to have for these two last weeks in ordinary time. The whole book, Revelation, that means the unveiling, so that we can in fact see the deeper realities. St. John tells us in his introduction here that he was reporting what he saw. He was going to describe for us what the Lord in faith had allowed him to see, to give this message of hope to the churches who are under a brutal persecution. And at the very beginning of this book, John reports what he had seen and heard to the seven churches of the diaspora, all there in Turkey. Today and tomorrow we're going to get what Jesus said to three of the seven churches. I would encourage you to read the second and the third chapter of Revelation to see what he says to all seven. But he begins with the most complimentary church. And tomorrow we're going to have what he said to those who needed the most work. Church in Ephesus, where St. John himself had gone to work, where St. Paul had preached and lived for a few years and had written the letter. Ephesus was a very strong church. It was proving that it was a strong church, even in the midst of persecution. And Jesus was praising the church in Ephesus. I know your works, your labor, your endurance, that they had stayed true throughout it all, that you can't tolerate the wicked, can't tolerate evil. You hate it because you know it hurts. You've tested those who call themselves apostles but are not, and discovered that they are imposters. What an important skill this is, to recognize those who are false prophets. And Catholics have got to get used to this. Sometimes in the church, if there are two churches and there's a pastor in one place that says, just keep on sinning, no big deal, Jesus loves you, just do it, no big problem, we're not going to talk about any of those issues you don't want to talk about. We're not really going to talk about forgiving your enemies. We're not going to talk that you can't commit sins, especially sexual sins, in this age that's addicted to sexual sins. If we've got a priest saying that and a priest saying, repent, in our culture, this church, with the false prophet, is going to be more popular. It really will. We've got to be able to discern those who are imposters, those who are not speaking for the Lord, but speaking for the culture. Jesus was praising Ephesus because they had this type of discrimination. You have endurance and have suffered for my name. You've not grown weary. All of these are basically saying you've got the grit of real heroes. Jesus was proud of the church in Ephesus. But he said, I hold this against you. You've lost the love that you had at first. Before there was, in a sense, a romance. You're doing everything out of love for me, and love for me in disguise, love for me in the poor, love for me in the needy. And because of all these sufferings, you've become a little harder, because you've been bearing it and you've become tougher. But you've lost the love you had at first. Realize, he says, how far you have fallen. It's a huge fall. Even though they hadn't sinned, even though they had remained true in persecution, they had fallen a huge amount. St. Paul would say in his first letter to the Corinthians, if you hand over your body to the torturers as a martyr, but don't have love, you gain nothing. Everything's supposed to be done out of the love of God that we've received, that we dwell in, and that we share. Realize how far you've fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Show your love for me. Show your love for others. And that brings us to the saint we celebrate today, Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. When she was 4, she was sent to Hungary because she was going to become the wife of the prince, who was 7 years older. She was going to be raised with the prince, and eventually, 10 years later, when she was 14 and he was 21, they would marry. They became very good friends. They competed with each other in acts of piety. Everybody in the court there in Hungary was trying to get her dismissed before she married him, because she was just too pious, she was too good, she was too charitable. But unlike a lot of these great saintly queens who had to tolerate unsaintly kings, Louis was always very holy and allowed her to do all her acts of charity. But in a battle toward the Crusades, Louis died of the plague. They had only been married for 6 years. St. Elizabeth would die 4 years later. But throughout their time together, she was incredible in her care for the poor. She was spending basically all of the money that Louis would give her for the care of the poor. She would feed 900 people every day with her own hand. Because the castle in which they lived was so high on a rock precipice, she built a hospice at the bottom of the hill where she would be able to care for all those who were sick. She was building hospitals, which basically didn't exist at the time. She was really tending to all of their needs. There's a famous story about seeing, because we've got to see Christ in others in order to really love with the love we had at first. In the opening prayer today, we said that by God's grace, she was able to recognize and revere Christ in the poor. She saw him and she revered him. There was one time she came into the presence of a leper. She couldn't keep the leper in the hospice where everybody else was being cared for obvious reasons of contagion. So she said, well, there's one place in which we can keep you away from everybody else. Come with me. So she took him up to her own, in the king's private quarters, where nobody else would enter without permission and everything else, and put this leper to rest on her and the king's bed. When the king found out about this, he was freaking out. There was a limit to what he was willing to allow to be done. And he asked the leper to get off the bed. And he started to pull all the bed sheets away and everything else like this. At which point he glanced at the leper, and the leper had stigmata. He recognized that the leper was Christ in disguise. And that's when everything changed. St. Elizabeth had always recognized that. She never lost that love she had at first. And even after her husband's death, when she became a Franciscan tertiary, she lived with great poverty. There was somebody who had come from her dad to see her, and she was there at the spinning wheel and said, no daughter of a king should ever be behind a spinning wheel. She was living very poorly. She was trying to beg until her spiritual director said that would cause too much chaos to see the queen begging. She was begging not for herself. She was begging for the poor. As we hear the book of Revelation, it's important for us to see what would the Lord say about our parish, and what would the Lord say about each of our faith. Would he praise us for our perseverance? Would he praise us for being able to distinguish between those who preach the truth and those who preach some other gospel than the one that we've received? Would he praise us for having the love we had at first? Would he say, recognize how far you're fallen from that love you once had? If we really have that love for the Lord Jesus, then it's going to show in our piety, particularly not taking him for granted, but really coming with incredible reverence and hunger. But it'll also be shown in the way we seek to recognize him and revere him in others. Through the intercession of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, let us ask for that grace, because Christ is going to be passing by us today, perhaps not in the disguise of a leper, but in the disguise of a neighbor, in the disguise of somebody in the shopping line, in the disguise of a fellow daily Mass goer. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.